Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's some families you just would love to have one meal with. Just to sit around the dinner table and hear the conversations. You know, people you know that are pretty dynamic and interesting, and have one of those families where everybody has a different kind of personality. Wouldn't it be nice to just be able to sit by a quiet, maybe like behind the wall, or just overhear the kind of discussion they have? Well, if you're into the Bible, one of the families you choose right at the top is the Zebedee gang. The Zebedees are known as sons of thunder, the two boys, James and John. So that gives you an idea about their dad. Their mother, Salome, in Luke's account, is the one who asked Jesus to put her two boys at the head of the table. You know, whereas in this account, it's James and John themselves. John wanted to call fire out of heaven and zap some people that wouldn't pay attention to them in one of the stories of the gospel, and Jesus had to kind of tone them down. So I think that would have been a wonderful group to kind of get sit around and hear what their conversations were. And I would love to hear what their father Zebedee, who was known as Thunder, would have had to say about it when James and John left him out in the middle of the lake on a boat, remember, and ran off to follow Jesus. I say that because these are dynamic people, real people. And John was that too. I'm going to call John the meek one, which in that family is not saying much because they all were pretty bold and dynamic. They were upfront people, you know. James and John didn't pull any punches in the Gospels. When they thought something, they said it. You know, Peter's a little bit different. He would lead first and then ask questions later, you know. That was kind of Peter's style. Nathaniel was kind of the quiet one off to the side. Just vastly different personalities in all the Gospels. But as I mentioned, James has a special role in the church since his death as well. He was the first one of the disciples who was martyred for his faith, one that is recorded in Scripture, as we heard in our second lesson in the book of Acts. He also is the patron saint of Spain, as I mentioned. Whether you believe that's where his bones or not, you know, he's become very important in Spanish history. And is the one they look to. But there's more to James than that. I want to give you a little bit more of his personality, because there are accounts of what happened to him after the biblical time had passed. Things were written down. About 100 years later, one of the historians wrote the account of when James was brought up before Herod. And he gave a testimony, apparently, about his faith and why he believed what he did. And the man who had betrayed him to Herod, who kind of turned him in, was so moved by what James said that he went to James in the cell before he was executed and asked him to forgive him. Now, knowing the history of James, you might have expected a little bit different response than what he actually did. You might have expected him to call down fire and thunder from heaven to consume someone who turned him in like that. But instead, James gave him a sign of peace. Hatsumosium. Peace be with you in the last, which I'm not very good at. Isn't it interesting how James grows in these accounts of his life? He and John, all the apostles, really. There are a couple things I want to speak about James that I think are helpful to us. It's helpful to me. The first is that it's okay to have a personality. You know, sometimes we think of Christians as you know, tampered little plates there that everyone has a look-alike, act-alike, think-alike. You know, little cookie-cutter Christians. This is not true of the apostles. They were vastly different people with different opinions, different ways of doing things. And it's interesting in these accounts that Jesus may sometimes correct them or pull them in when they get out of line, but he never tries to change their personalities. Never tries to deny who they are. And that's true for us. In the waters of baptism, as we remembered it there, we are called fallen people, restored people, but still the people that God made. Which to me means it's okay to be you. It's okay to feel comfortable in your own skin, to have your own personality and approaches to things. The great gift that the church had was not more power or more money, but it had people with different skills and abilities drawn from every walks of life in the early church that brought varied talents. You see, we have enough in this church for whatever God throws at us, life throws at us, more accurately, because we have each other. And in each other, we have a whole group of unique individuals, as I look out upon you, with different personalities and different attitudes. And I got plenty of attitude myself, as I can freely admit. And those are gifts from God. God never asks us not to be who we are, but he does ask us to offer offer who we are to God's service. And this is where the story of James is also wonderful. James never put me in James. I think, you know, that's probably pretty clear the type of person he was. But he did learn not to mean so much fire and thunder, lightning, and declaration stuff, you know? As the story of his death indicated. In other words, he changed. He could be both himself and learn to be a little different. Not so quick on the temper, not so fast to jump on things. Not so needy to be at the front of the line. James and John seem to be in this camp where they want the right and left-hand side. You know, sort of, if you know the play Hamilton, that Burr always wanted to be in the room. In the room. I can resonate to that song because I like to be in the room where things are going on, too. And that was James and John. God used it to transform. And that's why I used the word meek earlier. If you caught that, it was kind of a joke. Because we think of meek as kind of loopy. The way that term is used in my life, that's not what the root of it is. The root word for that in the Greek is the same thing from which you can turn bit and bridle. And if you know much about horses, not a horse person, but my grandfather had ponies, so we were around horses growing up. You'll know the bit and bridle is not meant to break a horse. They really don't want to break a horse, people who train horses. Because you want to keep the horse's energy and spirit, but you want to be able to control it, to harness it. For work and pleasure and all those things. If you break a horse's spirit, you have nothing left. That's a bit what the Bible means by being meek. It doesn't mean that we don't have opinions. It doesn't mean that we don't care about things. It does mean that we learn to kind of channel those energies and opinions and strength to allow God to use them in conjunction with others for the greater good. And that's what the story of James also teaches us. And while, yes, the first thing is true. We are called to be who we are. But who we are can learn through Christ how to be more useful with our personalities and our talents and skills for one another. So I want to lift James up for that reason. I want us to think about the wonderful combination of him, of a strong personality and yet the ability to be used and harnessed by grace. Because that's what Jesus says at the end of the gospel. He tells James and John, not only will they be able to drink the drink, in James' case, literally be killed. In John's case, the tradition is that he drank poison and survived. But they literally learned what it means to serve as well as to be served. For you and I hope we never quit being who we were created to be, the unique individuals that we are, but that we also always allow God to use us to work with one another for good. Amen. Amen.